Welcome to the Tuesday Grapevine. It is my pleasure to have with us for the first of several monthly interviews we're going to have with Christine Ibbotson, the Ask the Money Lady. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thanks for having me.
Christine, for our listeners, as you may have heard her on our 5:30, 5 o'clock time frame, is expanding her show to join us on the Tuesday Grapevine. She has been printed and published in over 500 documents. She has a program that airs on over 300 radio stations, and we are very fortunate to have her with us today. Now, Christine, today we're going to talk about the current housing market and some strategies that our listeners can make the best of it. So let me ask you, if I may, the first question: are the house prices going to continue to increase? Do you have your crystal ball ready for us?
Well, I don't think I have a crystal ball here, but the reason why the house prices are going up is because it's simple supply and demand. So as demand increases and we have less available homes that are listed, obviously there's a pent-up demand with buyers, so it drives the price up. Never have we seen this in many, many years. It's been almost 30 years where it is a true seller's market. So if you are looking to downsize your home, now would be the time to get the most out of your home sale.
Now, that supply and demand is also going to happen on a regional basis, but would you say it's in general throughout Ontario, or city dwellers moving to the country? What is your take on that supply and demand curve?
We are in a different demographic, a different market than we have ever experienced before because of COVID. So now people are able to work from home. And before, you know, you always had to be there at work, and you perhaps could work from home 1 or 2 days, whereas now employers are comfortable or accepting of their staff now working from home. So it's easier for someone to work further away or to live further away and work from home. So now they can downsize their expensive home in urban centers and move rurally. That's why we're starting to see the prices in rural areas starting to go up as demand increases.
Now, Christine, the other side of that coin, obviously, you mentioned the seller's market, but it's, if you're going to downsize, that's a great opportunity because you can look at getting a smaller property. But there are changes also in qualifying for a mortgage. What are those changes that have happened?
Well, the rates are still relatively low. A 3-year rate right now with TD is at 289 for a 3-year fixed. So those are really good rates still. But the government is trying to slow down the market, and they have increased the qualifying rates. So what that means to purchasers is that when you go into your bank or you approach your lender, and even if you agree on a rate of, let's say, 2.5%, you still have to qualify at the government mandated qualifying rate, which currently right now is 5.25%. So this is how the government mitigates the rates rising. So they feel that if you qualify for a rate of 5.25%, even though you are capturing perhaps 2.5% on your mortgage, you can then afford to be able to carry that mortgage if the rates increase. So this is very important when you are applying for a mortgage that perhaps you're not putting down the 20% convention. So you're not asking for a conventional mortgage and putting down 20% as a deposit. You're now getting a high ratio mortgage. So that means that it has to be CMHC approved. Therefore, you must qualify at that qualifying rate of 5.25% to meet the gross debt service ratios.
Now, Christine, there's a lot of young people out there that are trying to get into the market. How can young people get into this market?
There's a couple of things that the government has encouraged people to take advantage of, especially for first-time buyers. So everybody knows about the RSP Home Buyers Plan. So this is where you can draw down some of your RSP. You can take up to $35,000 out of your RSP tax-free towards the down payment on a home. And you don't have to put that back into your RSP. You actually have to put it back within a 15-year period. So you don't have to do it right away, but within 15 years, you have to put that money back in. The other is perhaps the CMHC Shared Equity Program. Now, this is also for first-time home buyers. And what this allows them to do is get a portion of their down payment from the government. So, for example, if they're buying an existing home, the government will kick in 5% of the down payment. Or if they're buying a new build, they'll kick in 10%. So if we look at an example, and actually there are a couple of caveats here. So to qualify for that shared equity program, you cannot have an income greater than $120,000. So that's the max to qualify. And then the mortgage amount cannot exceed 4 times your income. So if we look at an example, let's say that a purchaser earns $75,000 a year. So under the CMHC Shared Equity Program, you could say, okay, I make $75,000 a year times 4. That means I qualify for a mortgage of $300,000. And the CMHC will kick in 5%, which would be 15 grand. And I have to come up with the other 5%, which is 15,000. So together we put down 10% and we qualify for a high ratio mortgage. So that's how you would do it.
Christine, a lot of parents are trying to find ways to help their children become more invested in the market and to establish some credentials for themselves and establish financial equity. What can parents do to help children along these lines?
There's a lot of parents that, you know, they feel that their children can't get into the market now to buy a home, and they're concerned about it. You know, it's quite difficult because the house prices have gone up so much. So they could use the same sort of method as the government. So if they wanted to do a shared equity program with their children, they could kind of do the same sort of thing. So rather than you giving your child the money to buy a home or giving them the down payment, you could instead invest in the property with them as a percentage of ownership. So, for example, let's say that your child wants to purchase a home for $600,000. The parent could put in 15%, so let's say that's $90,000, and the child perhaps could put in 5%. So 15 plus 5 is 20%. So now you know that they put the 20% down, which is now they qualify for a conventional mortgage. The parent puts in 90,000 and the child puts in 30,000. That would mean that on a $600,000 purchase, there would be a mortgage of 480 grand. So that would be an 80% loan to value. It's a conventional mortgage. And if we look back at that example with TD, so their 3-year fixed rate right now is approximately 2.9, 2.89. That would mean that a mortgage payment on the 80%, which is 480 grand, would be approximately 2,200 a month. So well affordable for a child, so they could afford to pay that mortgage payment. Later, when the home is sold because the child is more financially stable and they now want to move on, that 15% equity is paid back to the parent. And so they bought the home for $600,000 and the parent bought in at the 15%. When they sell, let's say that they sell for $900,000, right? And they do that maybe, I don't know, 7-8 years later. So they sell the house for $900,000. That 15% of $900,000 is going to be $135,000 to the parent. They originally put in $90K, they've made $45,000 in profit. Not bad for helping out a child, right?
I think that's a win-win situation by my books. Christine, any other banking products to do this? What would be your recommendations right now?
Well, if you're a parent and you're listening, and let's say that you wanted to do that shared equity type strategy with your child, if you don't have the funds available, and you certainly don't want to cash in a portion of your RSPs or your retirement to do that, let's say that you wanted to perhaps borrow the funds to invest with your child. You can do this in a number of ways. The first would obviously be using a line of credit. And the beauty of actually borrowing to invest is that the interest that you pay on the investment loan is now a tax write-off. But the best product to use would be a collateral charge. And we should actually chat about that in our next conversation, because we can go really long on this one.
Okay, let's see.
A collateral charge is very, very different. It is an estate planning tool, and it gives you 100% of the value of your property. No term, no renewal, and it's not a mortgage. It's for the right type of client. For your listeners, it would be total freedom.
Sounds promising. Now, this is a wonderful bait to the listeners that they're going to have to come back next month to hear gems of information from Christine. We really thank you for your time today. I encourage all of our listeners, if you have any questions of Christine, you can send a question to her at info@askthemoneylady.ca. That's all one word, info@askthemoneylady.ca. And we'll use those questions about any financial matters, actually, and we'll get to them in another Tuesday Grapevine interview. Thank you very much for being on the show today, and stay safe out there.
Thank you for having me.